Hey guys, welcome to the Challenge Podcast. I'm Coach Steve.
And I'm Coach Nick, and we're going to be talking about everything fitness, health, and the challenge.
Let's get on with the show.
What's up guys, Coach Steve here, and welcome back to another episode of the Challenge Weekly Show. I'm here with our co-host, Coach Nick. Nick, how are we doing today?
Hi Coach Steve, I'm really good. Episode 39.
Yes, episode number 39. You know, we're about to leave the 30s and move on to the 40s. And I've heard that the 40s is the new 30s. Nick, is that right?
Oh, it's definitely the new 30. Absolutely. It's insane. 40s are the best.
40s are the best? Is that what I've got to look forward to?
You've got a lot to look forward to. Yeah.
Got a lot to look forward to.
Definitely.
Well, no, I'm excited for this podcast today. I'm excited, of course, for my 40s in another decade or so.
Oh, another 10 years.
Another 10 years. And look, Nick, it's like always, and it's an exciting week for the challenge this week. You know, we've just wrapped up our public voting. So everyone was able to go and vote for their favorite transformations. And, you know, you went and did it. I went and did it. We went through and did our own public voting. So I get 3 votes, you get 3 votes. And we had to go through the tough process to give our votes out to our favorite transformations. And gosh, I must say, Nick, it was absolutely blew me away of what people were able to achieve over the past 6 weeks.
I know. I feel like 6 weeks has really made people focus quite intently on what they're doing, because there are some amazing transformations. It's some of them look just phenomenal.
Every challenge that I do, Nick, it always inspires me to be better, to work harder. And, you know, like I am the identity of a fitness person. I base my day around when I'm going to go train. I eat the way I do. I sleep the way I do. I build my whole life around this fitness thing. And when I see people come and join the challenge and they get, you know, achieve these amazing results like they do, it just inspires me to be better. So if anybody listening to this, if you've just completed the challenge, I want to thank you for inspiring me to be better at my own fitness journey. So thanks for that.
I agree. Oh, absolutely. Especially over the last 6 weeks. I mean, I'm not going to rave on about lockdown, but I've had to draw from the Facebook page sometimes for inspiration from people. Just little quotes and motivational sayings and people's stories have helped me get through as well. So we all help each other, which is wonderful.
Yeah, look, it's a journey, right? It's a journey of fitness for our life.
Definitely.
Now, look, Nick, later this week, we, of course, find out our finalists. So we find out our top 50 on Wednesday, which will be tomorrow from when this podcast is released. And then on Friday, which is the 22nd of October, we are hosting our awards night, where we'll be finding out our top 10, our top 3 finalists, and then also our community award and who ended up with the most votes in the public voting. Now, remember, the public voting is quite different to our main judging. So if you got 0 votes in the public voting, that doesn't mean that you're completely out of the running to be in the top 10. Okay. So, and if you were the person who got the most votes in the public voting, you may have also gotten the top 10 in the challenge. And that's a much bigger prize than the public vote. So we like to share our prizes around, and we end up giving the public vote to the person with the most votes outside of the top 10. Okay. So if you, this is a cheeky one. So if you're watching the awards night and you know that you maybe got second place in the public voting and you didn't win the public vote, you then know that you're in the top 10. So there's a little cheeky one.
Ooh, yeah.
So you might be able to find out a few minutes before we announce it in the awards night that you're in the top 10. There you go.
That is a really good tip.
But look, I love the awards night. It's a nice addition that we've added to the challenge over the past year, and it's a great way for all of us to you know, experience the moment that we find out who's won the challenge. And it's a nice inspirational event where it's lots of positive feedback live on our Facebook support group, and then also a great time just to see almost real-time reactions. And it's happened in the past where, you know, Nick and I know who the winner is, and we're doing the awards night, and we could see the comments come through, and we see the winner in the comments thread, and they're going through and they're celebrating everybody else, and then they found out that they're in the top 10 and they celebrate that, and they found out that they're in the top 3 and they found out they won, and we can kind of see that, and we love that. That's a really great experience. So you know, tune in this Friday night, 22nd of October, kicking off at 7:30 p.m. That's Melbourne time. Now, Melbourne has gone through daylight savings about 2-3 weeks ago, so double check what Melbourne time is for you, especially if you're over in the Western Australia or in Brisbane or other parts of Australia, so that you can tune in live and watch the event. It's gonna be a great one.
Yeah, definitely. I can't wait. What are you gonna wear?
What am I gonna wear? I'm gonna wear whatever fits me, Nick. No. I've got a white shirt, bow tie. So I think to fit with gender stereotypes, I think dressing up for me is a little bit simple. So that's nice.
Yeah, it's not going to fit your chest. No way. You might have to do a click and collect of a new shirt.
Yeah. Well, look, I think what I like about working from home is that I can wear activewear shorts. So what is it? Party up the top, business down the bottom, or the other way around?
No, that's it.
And then for any guys out there, if you've worn like a button-up shirt and, you know, you can kind of like sit down and hunch over and the shirt, it kind of fits you okay. But then, you know, if you stood up and like open up your chest, it gets like really kind of tight. So you can kind of just like sit there. Anyway. So it's going to be a fun event.
Oh, I can't wait. No, that's really cool. Good week coming up.
Now, Nick, you know, peeking off into the future, we have our November challenge kicking off on the 1st of November. So starting very, very soon.
I know. Ooh, November.
We've got our prep weekend kicking off on Friday the 27th, I believe that's the date, Friday the 27th, which will be prep weekend. So from Friday at 9 a.m., you'll be able to log in. You'll have Friday, Saturday, Sunday, so 72 hours to
download.
29th.
That's the
one.
Yep, just checking. Yes, that definitely.
29th of October, you'll be able to log in and you'll be able to download your plans. You can, you know, complete your profile and change your plans if you wish to. You can have a sticky note and download all the plans if you want. They're yours to keep. You can start asking us questions on the forum. You can check out all our resources. You can start uploading to the journal, all the things. The website will be open from the 29th and the challenge officially kicks off on the 1st of November. It's going to be an exciting one. The 6-week summer blitz. And it's going to be a great time, you know, especially different parts of the state, you know, defrosting out of COVID, many of us losing our COVID kilos and getting back into the gym, doing all these fun things. And the 6-week challenge can be a great time to keep us accountable. So I'm really looking forward to that challenge.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you can even think, buy yourself an outfit to wear to a Christmas party because, it ends just before Christmas. So you can buy yourself a goal outfit and really just get stuck into it and it'll just be ready for you for Christmas. It's going to be awesome. I love these challenges because everyone's hyper focused and it's good fun.
I like it. A few years ago, I went and bought a Christmas suit.
Ah, see? Okay.
Yeah. So it's a Christmas suit. It was the pants and the blazer and the tie and it was like, you know, bright blue with reindeers on it. Okay. And it lasted about, 3 or 4 months until I went to try to fit it on and it didn't fit around my shoulders. And I was like, okay.
Them gains.
Yeah. So I wanted to go buy a new Christmas suit, I reckon.
I think so too. I think that is such a good idea. And you can wear it to the awards night just before Christmas.
That'll be good. And then I can get those really dorky Christmas photos with my boy George.
You have to.
As Papa Steve. What do you reckon?
Yeah. Oh, no, that's exactly what's going to happen.
That's like, the reason why I'm buying that suit, right?
100%. And he's got to have a matching something.
Yeah. I reckon I'm going to dress him up in a little matching suit as well.
You're crazy not to. Like, that's actually what's going to happen. So it's all set in stone. Mm-hmm. How's he going, by the way? We need to just suss out. We need a baby George update.
Baby George is doing baby George things. I believe he's going through a leap at the moment. I'm learning lots about infants. He's super clingy. He loves a good cuddle. He loves a good cry. Doing baby things. So it's been going good. It's been going good. Thanks for asking.
Oh, no worries. I always think of baby George.
Baby George. Yes. Yeah. Look, Nick, let's move on to our non-scale victories for the week, our NSVs. Now, Nick, I believe you found a couple this week.
Yes. Hashtag NSVs. We love our NSVs. So they're still coming through. Even though the challenge is over, I love this. The people are still engaging and explaining about what's going on for them because just because the challenge is over doesn't mean that everything stops. So it's great to see people continuing through. This one here is from Matthew Webb. Challenge done and dusted, he says. Started at 97.8 kilos, got to my goal weight under 90, lost 8 kilos and put on muscle. NSBs are abundant. Thanks to the crew on here for the motivation and support. Enjoy the victories and the new lifestyle. So although he does mention, obviously, the kgs lost, for him, it sounds like also he's embraced all the other things that come along with that and enjoys the team and the camaraderie, which is on the group. So NSVs everywhere for that. And even though we're not supposed to talk about SVs, that's a good scale victory there too, just have to say. Just saying. I've got to acknowledge that.
That's like 10% loss. That's awesome, yeah. Matthew. Yeah.
Yeah. So we will just chuck in an SB in the NSB, an unprecedented SB in the NSB, but let's continue. So then we've got Eve Alicia. I've had this dress for years. My aim this challenge was to zip it up again. Fast forward 6 weeks and boom, success. NSB for me. Bring on the next 6 weeks. How good is that? That's so good, Eve. I think that's fantastic. You know, clothes do not lie. You know, they just don't. I mean, activewear can possibly lie, but the rest of the clothes, you know, you can tell. So that's really good. Really good.
I like that, Eve. Congratulations.
Yeah. The next one is Nikki Playstead, and this is from the journals. So she says, I'm so proud of my results. I've lost a total of 2 kilos and a total of 23.5 centimeters, but it's what you don't see that has me smiling. My strength and fitness have gone through the roof. My mental health and overall well-being is just amazing. I feel so good. I'm continuing through the next 2 weeks with my nutrition and training and will take on an extra few days rest before the next challenge commences. I will keep moving forward with my goals and look forward to the next 6 week challenge. Love it.
I love that, Nikki. That's awesome.
Yeah. And you know what I love about that as well? And I encourage everyone to do it. Write this stuff down somewhere, because she's written it down, it's actually going to come true. It's just the law. It's the way it goes. If she didn't write it down, she might kind of deviate, but because it's written down, it's going to happen. So that's it for you, Nikki. Look out.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I found a few this week.
All right.
So the first one goes to Candace Austin, and this was on our Facebook support group, and she writes, 6 weeks completed. First challenge I finished in a while and feeling really good. Still a bit of work to be done, but I'm getting there. I think all of us, you know, we're getting there, right? Like we're working towards our goals. We're never really there. We kind of have shifting goalposts, but that's awesome, Candace. And her NSV, she writes, NSV, I'm back to my size 10 jeans. Are they a little snug? Yep, lol. but wearable if you don't need to breathe. So that sounds very similar to Eve, where, you know, we're using our clothes as a bit of a goal and a bit of a victory that you're able to fit into those size 10 jeans. That's awesome, Candace.
Good on you. Yay.
The next one goes out to one of our ambassadors and someone who I know listens to the Challenge podcast. So this goes out to Ashley Chettleberg. This was on Instagram and his handle is Noodles025. So Noodles025. And I actually did a podcast with Ashley when he was in the top 10. So make sure you go check out Ashley's interview that I did with him, and I also did one with his wife, Jess. And he writes, the Max's 6 week challenge is done for this round. You can't see many drastic changes, which I wasn't really expecting. However, I did end up increasing my body weight, my strength, and also added a little bit of size in some areas. Getting through the 6 weeks of training post-injury was my main goal, and I succeeded in doing that. And I love this from Ashley, and you know, he is an ambassador for us, so he's not technically doing the challenge as part of our competition, but I think it's a great role model where Ashley would be on, you know, challenge number 10 or 11 in his time. And we've had other ambassadors who are up to challenge number like 17 or 18 for themselves, and they use it as a lifestyle where they do a challenge, maybe take 1 or 2 weeks off in between just to rest and recover, and then they do another challenge, and they really embrace that challenge lifestyle and really thinking of it as a big journey, not just a one-time wipe your hands and walk away experience, something that we're, you know, doing over time, and we're building into this fitness journey so that we can develop our physique and develop our bodies and, you know, make ourselves stronger physically and mentally. So that's awesome to see, Ashley.
I love that. Yep, so true. Speaks to me. Love it.
And the last one here, another one from Instagram, goes out to Sarah Gibbons. Handle is Cyan Cat. She writes, my fitness journey hasn't been a physical one. An incredibly large part of it has been and is still a mental one. Shifting the critical negative talk is probably the hardest part of it all, allowing myself to acknowledge the positive change, progress, and accomplishments without playing them down. I always say results are cumulative, and with the changes I've seen in just 6 weeks, I know that I am well on the way to reaching my goals, both physical and mental. And I like this one from Sarah because she really highlights the mental changes that comes with body transformation, because, you know, like we can go in the gym and we can tackle it physically, but it's not until we make those big mental shifts that the weight shifts, that our body shifts, that our, you know, perception of who we are shifts. And I think Sarah really highlights that. So thank you, Sarah, for sharing that. And make sure you go give her a follow at Cyan Cat, S-Y-N Cat. That's awesome.
Well done, everybody.
It's always good. I love our NSVs. I think they're really great. If you're experiencing an NSV, let us know. You can share your NSV on our Facebook support group. You could write about it in your journal, or you can write about it on Instagram and tag Max or Maxine Challenge, and we'll be able to see it. So we're always looking for NSVs. We like them.
Yes. Yay. NSVs.
Now, Nick, let's move on to our coach's corner for the week, where we offer our tip for the week. So, Nick, would you like to start us off?
Yes. So I'm going to just have a chat about some popular diets and how they work. Now, basically, the challenge promotes eating pretty much everything in moderation, portion sizes, energy balance. So just to preface it with that, and that's what we feel works the best long term. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that something won't work for you. And if you've found that it works for you, you can always keep using it. So I have to preface it with that. So there's nothing controversial here. I'm not going to be saying anything controversial. But so everybody's heard of the ketogenic diet, keto. The paleo diet, and then plant-based, vegan, vegetarian, pescatarian, and intermittent fasting or time-restricted eating. Now, all of this is within the realms of thinking about energy balance, what you put into your body and what you expend, the energy that you expend. So if you are eating less energy than what you expend, it won't matter which diet you use, you will drop weight, body fat over time. So that is good. Now, there are different styles of eating. Now, keto is where you basically have a moderate protein, you have high fat, and it doesn't look, I don't know, I see it go off tap where it's butter and bacon and things like that. I think that's extreme. But then, but basically, if you're doing full keto, it's very, very restricted carbohydrates as well. So your body actually becomes fat adapted, so it burns fat for fuel. Now, I'll just tell you that that may work and you may actually lose quite a bit of body fat. But in terms of training at the gym, which we like to do, weight training, you actually do need carbs. You need carbs to, fuel your muscles and for performance. So with HIIT training, I've always found that if I've ever tried to restrict carbohydrates, my performance goes down the gurgler. Whereas, say, with endurance training, I could probably keep going. But I know that if I wanted to, when I used to try and hit my maximum watts or something like that within power training, you know, where it's really quantifiable and you can see those numbers, if I was ever mucking around with that diet, my performance was crap. So how does it work? It makes your body get used to burning fats for fuel. So, I mean, it can work, but I think personally, my opinion is just for weightlifting and things, I don't think it is necessarily the best long-term plan. Paleo, now that's just my opinion. I know you'll tell me yours as well, Steve, but paleo is where we think about it as sort of the caveman diet. So we go back, we eat our plants and our animals, but we actually omit things like legumes and other stuff because I think it's because they grow in certain ways. I'm not actually sure. You can probably elaborate a bit more on what exactly it does. But basically that's also the same thing in terms of just energy balance. Now, my favorite thing to talk about with the diet is the intermittent fasting one, because with intermittent fasting, people sort of start to think that it's a magic cure to everything. I know a lot of people go, you've got to intermittent fast. But really the reason is you are restricting your eating to a certain window of the day. So if you've got that under control and if you've got a meal plan and you don't get too hungry and you can control your calories, you probably are going to be able to restrict those calories and be able to eat under what you actually expend. So all of these things are ways to manipulate your body's energy and try and come out on top. And yes, I mean, I know that CrossFit and paleo go together. They've always gone together. And it was a big fad a while back. But really, I don't mind the premise behind it in terms of, because I love a bit of meat. I love veggies and stuff like that. But then I also like pasta. So I don't think any cavemen were eating pasta. So vegetarian, look, if you're vegetarian, obviously you still want to try and get the most protein that you can, but it's probably also a bit of a myth that vegetarians can't get any protein, because there are proteins in things like rice and and legumes and things that people, you know, on our meal plans, they actually sometimes forget to look at that and go, well, where's my meat protein? And they forget that everything contains protein as well. So you just have to be a bit more savvy, especially if you don't want to eat heaps and heaps of processed stuff. And then we've got pescatarian, and one of our pescatarians in the challenge who's actually done really well is Hayley. She's a pescatarian. So Hayley from, I think she came second in the last challenge. She's a pescatarian. So if you are somebody who loves seafood and doesn't eat any other meat, you should check out her Instagram, because she's got heaps of different recipes with seafood. So she enjoys that, and she finds that that works for her. So yeah, it's whatever diet works for you. I hope that I've helped to explain them a little bit. I reckon I've tried pretty much everything that's on here, and I've come to the conclusion that I just have to eat carbs, enjoy carbs, train hard, and live my best life.
I like it. It's a really good summary of popular diets.
Oh gosh, I tell you, there's so many out there, isn't there?
Yeah, there really are, and I feel like there's new ones that pop up all the time. Like the only comments I'll make is that you're right, like every diet aims to work under the principle of an energy restriction. Unless you're trying to gain weight, then it'll be energy surplus. But most of the diets, when we're trying to lose weight, follows a principle of energy restriction, where we're trying to reduce the amount of energy that we're consuming. And that most popular diets work by heavily restricting the amount of foods that you can eat. So essentially you're getting a list, and then you're crossing out all the foods that you can't eat, and then you have a short list of things that you can eat. So for example, you know, keto just completely omits a whole macronutrient, an entire out of the three macronutrients, get rid of one of them. You don't need carbs, just have fats and protein, and you're gone. So of course you're going to lose weight, because you've cut out, you know, two-thirds of food that you possibly could eat. And those carbohydrates are usually foods that are really, really tasty. You know, you've got things like pasta, which people could eat and not even breathe and just eat more of it. You know, we've got things like breads and stuff like that, right?
70 grams of pasta is the size of my eye.
Yeah. And that's the same as, yeah. And then, you know, on the flip side, there's like, you know, carnivore diets where people only eat protein, they only eat meat, right? And they completely omit carbohydrates again. And then all the other food groups that are along with it, all fruits and vegetables and everything else, and they only eat meat. So of course these diets are going to be successful to restrict energy, because you're just getting rid of everything else. Then on the other side, you've got, you know, vegan and plant-based diets, which restrict all animal products. And then of course we're just restricting more foods. And then same with paleo. Paleo is kind of like a very similar to the Mediterranean diet, where we're trying to go back to quote natural, which is a natural fallacy, where, you know, individuals would choose to have red meat or seasonal vegetables or nuts, and choose not to have foods such as fruits that are not in season, or certain oils, or pastas and certain grains, because they're foods that wouldn't have been around when cavemen were able to eat. But those people would also then choose to have tin pineapple, right? When you can't really get tin pineapple out of the ground. So a little bit of flaws there, but it works in the same principle, where we're just restricting foods. We know that heavily restricted diets are less successful than really open diets. And that's what the challenge follows. They're a very open diet, a very non-restricted diet, where you could eat literally whatever you like, as long as we're fitting within the calorie constraint model, where we're trying to, you know, match our energy balance, like you said. One thing I'll mention about keto, which I find really interesting, is that there's a number of studies that have come out that compared individuals in two different groups, one following a keto diet, one following just a standard diet with energy balance. Both groups lost similar amounts of body fat. If anything, the keto group lost slightly more body fat, but that was contributed mainly to changes in hydration, because when you reduce carbohydrates, you lose a lot of the glycogen in your muscle, which then makes you lighter, because the glycogen in your muscle holds water. So individuals who follow the keto diet were slightly lighter, but it wasn't attributed to fat loss. There was more weight loss, but not as much fat loss.
I have a dad joke. They were carbo dehydrated.
Carbo dehydrated. I like that.
There's a dad joke for you.
I'm going to steal that one from you. Yeah. And what they also found was that those in the keto group gained less muscle than those in the regular group. Okay.
See? And we care about that.
And it really comes down to that If you choose to follow a keto diet, there's nothing wrong with keto diets. They're really successful because you're completely getting rid of one third of foods out there. You know, you will have less easily to access energy, and you are unlikely to be lifting heavy weights. You are unlikely to be gaining as much muscle as you possibly can. And you're unlikely to really transform your physique. Yeah, sure, you probably lose body weight. And yeah, you're right, Nick, you're probably metabolizing more fat because you're eating more fat.
That's right. That's what. Which kind of fat is it? That's the thing. Because yeah, you might metabolize fat, but it's going to probably be the fat that you're eating before you even get to your adipose tissue. Yeah.
And we remember that 1 gram of fat is really high in calories, you know, 9 calories. So it's really easy to, you know, blow out your calories. Because if you're like, oh, I'm keto, I can have bacon and oil and butter in my coffee. Before you know it, you know, you've had 4,000 calories and you've eaten, you know, a stick of butter. Yeah. And then your poor heart is like, oh, geez, what the hell's going on? So
I'm still here.
Yeah. But, you know, again, like we're saying, nothing wrong with popular diets.
No. And, oh, also we should mention, I mean, keto was originally invented to treat epilepsy.
Epilepsy, yeah.
So, I mean, it's obviously got its medical benefits. But, yeah, I suppose we're talking about it more as in terms of training benefits as well. And yeah. So, yeah, I've been through, over my time, I've restricted carbs and things, and I can tell you I'm happy now to be back on the carb bandwagon where I'm happy with my weight is stable, everything's good. That's a good place to be for me, because otherwise there's always that fear of if you reintroduce that food group, what is going to happen? So I feel happy that I don't have to worry about that in my list of worries.
Yeah, I like that. I just like teaching people on the challenge that, you know, you could have a balanced diet as long as you practice moderation.
Correct.
You could have the cookie if you'd like to. You could have that steak. You could have that bowl of pasta. You could have that ice cream, as long as you're aware of the energy content and you just don't take the piss out of it. You know, you as a true Australian, don't take the piss. Practice moderation, and you know, you could enjoy the foods that you want and be happy in your body. And I think that is a powerful and empowering thing to learn on the challenge. Now, to shift it slightly, I'd like to talk a little bit about our friends that we call habits, okay? So I want to talk about some concepts that we call friction in amongst habits. And this concept you probably read in books such as Tiny Habits, if you've read the BJ Frog book, or Atomic Habit, which is written by James Clear, or The Power of Habit by Charles Duhigg. And, you know, very similar concepts in these three books. I'm sure many people out there have read them. I'm sure, Nick, you've probably read a couple of those. Yeah. No, you're probably looking at them now.
I was just checking to see if we've got all of those on the. Yeah, we do. It's funny. Everybody's got these. Yeah.
So I think we need to understand that humans, you know, in a way, we are lazy creatures. We like to preserve energy as best as we can. And part of that is that we like to create shortcuts or habits where our brain doesn't necessarily need to think. We like to make things easy, routine, and habits. Okay. And part of a transformation, part of making a successful change in our body, is that we need to shift some of the habits that we have in our lives. Okay. Now, some habits could be linked to two different parts when we're talking about body transformation. We can look at habits that will increase the amount of energy that we consume. And most of those are habits kind of in the kitchen, right? So if you have a habit of snacking while you're preparing dinner, okay, you're consuming more energy. Or if you have a habit of eating as soon as you get home, no matter what you're doing, you just go into the cupboard and grab some food. That's a habit that, you know, it's going to be challenging because you're consuming more food. And then on the other side, we have habits that relate to our energy expenditure. So if you have a habit to get home and sit on the couch until you go to bed, all right, you're decreasing the amount of energy you expend, okay? Now, when we go to manipulate our habits, we're really looking at adjusting friction to that habit, okay? So we want to make habits that we want to do really easy to do. We want to make habits that we don't want to do really hard to do, okay? So it's a simple concept, but yeah, let's use some analogies, right? Or some examples is a better word. One example was a client that I used to train in a previous life, and I was encouraging this person to try to get more steps in their day, okay? And the way that they would describe their home environment was that it was really difficult to get out the door to go for a walk around the block. So we're trying to find strategies to make it easier for her to go for a walk. Now, we found that when she got home, she stored her shoes in her cupboard in her bedroom. And then she had a jacket in actually a different part of the house in a cupboard. And when I was like, oh, well, you know, when you go for a walk, you're going to need to go all the way to one side of the house, grab your shoes, and all the way to the other side of the house, grab your jacket. And then, you know, you eventually get out the door. You're making it really difficult. You create a lot of friction to do that activity. So what we did was she put a pair of shoes at her front door. It was actually a pair of thongs at the front door. And then she got a little hook that she put a little jacket up at the front door. So then when she wanted to go for a walk, all she did was walk to the front door, put on her shoes, put on her jacket, and away she goes. She made it really easy to do that activity, and she took away some of the friction. Okay, so that was a habit that she wanted to introduce into her life and made it easier for her life. Okay.
Yeah, I love that. Yep.
Now, on the flip side, there are habits that we don't want to do. Okay. These are a little bit trickier to kind of put away. And I'll use an example of me personally. Now, I've spoken about this in the past. I have certain foods that are my kryptonite. If they're near me, I inhale them. Like, nothing else exists in the world other than that food in front of me, and I can't have them in my house, okay? And if you know what I'm talking about, it's hummus. I can't have hummus around me, or yogurt. I can't have yogurt around me. I'm kind of like Terry Crews from Brooklyn Nine-Nines. Yogurt or hummus, I can't have around me. I think anything in paste form, Nick. So I'm very, very worried for when baby George starts having solids, and, you know, we're giving him like baby food. I'm worried that paste will be like my kryptonite. So
I know, because anyway, you'll be like, daddy's having one.
Yeah, one for me, one for you, one for you. Yeah. Anyway, so I understand that this is a bad habit for me, or a habit I don't want to have, because these foods, I can't control myself, and I'm not a superhuman. I'm just like you. But I modify my environment and my habits so that I can stay on some sort of track. Now, if that food is in my house, I will hunt it down like a ravenous beast, okay? So what I do is I choose to never to buy those foods and have them in my house. So I've created a really strong friction that if I get the urge to have hummus or the urge to have yogurt, I have to grab my keys, go to my car, drive to the local supermarket, purchase that product, get it home to my house before I consume it in the car, and then eat it at home, right? So I've created lots of friction to make that task really difficult. And I can safely say that only happens maybe once a year that I'll go get hummus. You know, these are things that we can think about in our life. So, you know, replace hummus with something like chocolate. Okay. All of us have kind of like that little chocolate container that we don't tell anybody about. Maybe we hide it from the kids, you know, like around the corner or in the laundry or in our bedroom or something like that. Okay. And if you made it really easy to have that chocolate, you're going to have that chocolate. You made it easy for you.
Definitely.
The worst place is when it's on the kitchen table, right? Every time you walk past, you look at that chocolate, like, ooh, that looks nice. That looks nice. And eventually you have one, you have two, you have a third one. Before you know it, you've had 10 bits of chocolate throughout the day. But if you made it really difficult where you stored that chocolate maybe in the garage, you know, it's harder to get to, or maybe you put it up really high in a lockbox, so you have to actually go get that key, unlock it, and then open it up. You know, if you had lots of friction, you're less likely to do that activity. So my tip for you listening to this is that if you first want to introduce a habit into your life, let that be going for a walk, maybe drinking more water, maybe having more fruits and vegetables in your diet, whatever it is, think about ways that you can reduce the friction to make it easy to do those things. Like, what would it look like if it was easy? You know, could you put some shoes at your front door with a jacket so that you can go for a walk? For me, I have my shoes, my jacket, and the dog lead at the front door. So when I go to walk the dog, everything's at the front door and away we go. Okay. So it's really easy. A little bit harder now with baby George. It takes a little bit longer to get out the door, but that's okay. We're working on that friction. Then on the flip side, if you have a habit that you want to remove, you want to get rid of, you don't want to do it anymore because you know that it can be challenging to complete the challenge while having this habit, think about ways that you can introduce friction. Does that mean that you lock your chocolate in the cupboard with a key? Maybe you want to stop snacking on bread. So you put bread in the freezer, right? So now that bread's in the freezer, you have to defrost it before you eat it, right? So you've made it really hard to eat that. You could still have it. Maybe you need it in your house because you've got kids, you've got partners, whatever it is in your environment, but you're making it more difficult for you to do that habit. So friction. Once you think about it, you can really reflect on your own habits and look for ways to modify your life so you can have more power over your environment and then ultimately over your challenge.
Oh, absolutely. I love it. I love it. I mean, with my walking, I know that if I do not get the majority of my walking done, if I don't get it done before 6 a.m., with the curfew, possibly it's moved to about 7 a.m., it's not going to happen. So I walk and I get it done because I need to get my steps done. And then I know that it is just going to be okay. And then I'll do my training, all that other stuff, and do work. But if I don't do that, it's not going to happen. I know myself.
I like it.
Oh, gosh.
Nick, from here, I'd like to answer some questions that came up over the past week. Okay, and the first one here is some individuals were asking if there was a program that they could do, so a training program that they can do, where it's a mix between weights and cardio. Okay, so what advice would you give this person?
Funny you should mention that, Coach Steve. Funny you should mention that, because nobody has seen this new program yet. I know we spoke about it in the last podcast, so I can't really go dun, 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 but hybrid is the program that you want. Hybrid is the one. It will actually provide you. I mean, look, all of our programs do suggest, obviously, to step. But if you're talking about a dedicated day, or actually making time in your plan to sort of do a mixture of both, a hybrid, if you like, this is the one. I'm very excited about this. I think that it's going to embrace rather than. For us to create friction for people that love that, we're actually going to embrace it, and we're going to say, do it, but do it with this structure around it, and let's see what happens to you then. So rather than saying now you have to give up everything that you love, you can actually fuse the two and see how that works for you. So I'm super excited. I can't wait until we can reveal what it looks like, because I think a lot of people are going to really appreciate this, because there's a lot of people from just probably beyond my generation, my mum's generation really, that are obsessed with their walking and their cardio and their running, and they won't go without it. So let's embrace it, and let's fuse the two together and make it into this wonderful program called Hybrid.
I'm excited to bring the hybrid.
Yeah.
Which will be, a mix between our muscle building programs, like, Get Strong and Build Size and Strength, and then a mix between our kind of fat loss programs, such as Tone and Shape and Lean and Rip. So it's going to be 4 days of strength training and 2 days of like HIIT style training. So 6 days of training in total. And those 4 days of resistance training will be kind of like a full body split type program. So it's going to be a good program. So hopefully you get a chance to try it out in the next challenge.
Definitely. There are a lot of benefits to doing that if you've been following the same program for a while and you want to quote unquote mix it up. I'd say that this is your program to try, especially in the next week challenge.
I agree. Next question here, a little bit of a common one actually, which is a question came up and goes, why am I losing muscle on the challenge? Okay. Why am I losing muscle in the challenge? Now, without getting really long-winded and turning it into a half an hour answer, we'll go through the key points. Muscle is really expensive tissue to maintain in our body. When given the option, your body will choose to lose muscle because it's expensive to maintain. So if you are in a position where your body requires energy, it can choose to reduce muscle mass, it can choose to reduce fat mass or bone mineral density or other tissues in your body. It's going to choose muscle mass every day of the week so that it can preserve energy, okay? Now, the goal through a weight loss journey is to get an energy deficit. So we're giving our body the choice to go, okay, well, you need to lose energy. You need to get energy from somewhere. You're in an energy deficit. You need to find energy from somewhere. We're basically giving our body the choice to lose energy from somewhere. And if given the free choice, the body will lose muscle all day, every day. Now, there's certain factors that will increase the amount of muscle mass that we lose when we're in an energy deficit. So the first one is resistance training. So if you choose not to do resistance training, so if you choose to follow purely a cardio program, maybe you're training for a marathon, maybe you love to do aerobics or HIIT classes or whatever it is, if you're mainly doing steady state cardio based activities, you're not completing resistance training. So your body doesn't need the muscle. So it goes, all right, well, I don't need it. Let's get rid of it because it's really expensive tissue to maintain. So it's a big one. And we face this problem in the challenge from maybe Nick, like you suggested, people of the generation prior to us who love their aerobics and love their step class and spin class and all those things. And they find that they are really good at losing muscle mass and not really good at losing body fat. Okay, so that's the first one. Okay, the next one, big factor that results in muscle loss, is being in a large energy deficit. So if you're in a very significant energy deficit, your body will, of course, and if you're in a really significant energy deficit and your resistance training, if it's really large, you're going to lose muscle, but then inevitably you're going to start losing muscle mass as well. Okay. Which is why we don't like to be in really extreme energy deficits. So the classic, you know, 1200 calories for women, or, you know, 1500 calories for guys, are really extreme. That could be energy deficits of like 40-50%. Of course, that's just a recipe to be really lethargic, really tired, and eventually losing muscle mass. Okay, so we don't like really large energy deficits. And then number three would be the length of the diet. Okay, so this is why the challenge works really well in the 12-week block, and which is why we recommend most people to go through maintenance phase before they kind of jump back in. So the challenge previously 12 weeks, now 6 weeks. And, you know, we do recommend those maintenance phases, because when we're in positions where we're in an energy deficit for longer than that 12-16 week, you know, if you have been in an energy deficit really for, I don't know, 6 months, pure energy deficit, if you look at it on a graph, you get a really steep drop off in muscle mass. So what happens is you start losing body fat first, and the muscle mass slowly, you know, decreases over time. And then, you know, once we really get deep into that energy deficit, you know, month four, month five, month six, then we get these really significant decreases in muscle mass. So in summary, the three big factors where we are likely to lose muscle on the challenge is: one, if we don't do resistance training or give a really poor effort at resistance training. And I'm speaking to some of those out there that might be grabbing the 2 kilo dumbbells in the corner, or, you know, doing really short reps in push-ups and squats and these activities, really poor efforts in resistance training. You're not going to build muscle or maintain muscle. That's number one. Number two, really significant energy deficits. And then number three, really prolonged energy deficits. So they're the big three. I will put a little asterisk on this answer where it's questionable about how we are actually measuring our muscle mass. It's really difficult to measure our muscle mass. If anything, it's more accurate to use like a calculation that you find on the internet than jumping on a scan in your body. So, you know, let's use the example of like a DEXA scan. A DEXA scan has up to like a 10% error rate, and then 10% error rate in one scan and a 10% error rate in the second scan. You're trying to compare the two. That could be really huge differences in those numbers. And then also a DEXA scan works by like a four compartment model, meaning that they first get your total body mass, then they determine how much body fat you have, then how much bone mineral density you have, and then they determine that everything else is lean body mass. So lean body mass then includes all of our muscle, our organs, you know, our skin, our hair, the things in our gut, connective tissue, and everything in between. So that's a lot of different tissues. So if you were going to your DEXA scan and you just ate breakfast, and you have 500 grams of bacon and eggs in your belly, the DEXA scan will read that as 500 grams more muscle, okay? Because it can't determine the difference between muscle, gut residue, hydration, all those factors, okay? So it's a little bit questionable about how we're actually measuring muscle, and if it isn't even worth getting a scan, or is it worth just you know, using a calculator online and getting a rough prediction of our muscle mass. The thing I would say is that we can be confident that muscle is increasing if we are getting stronger and we are able to do more volume. So if you're able to do more sets at more reps of a higher weight, you know that you're building muscle because you have more hardware to do that activity, okay? But that's a short answer to a long answer of why am I losing muscle on the challenge. The next question here is, I think, written by someone who is training at home at the moment, and they write, how do I progress my training when I can't increase the weight? And I think they were limited by how much weight they have. So, Nick, what advice would you give this person?
Oh, gosh, we're good at this. And once again, in Melbourne, but yeah, we became good at it. But look, it's something that we all need to know anyway. And so, look, it is worth spending some time now. I think, like, looking back, I would say I'm glad that this happened because I've learned all of this. But yeah, so you can increase the reps. So let's just say, for example, my mum, who has maybe a set of, I think, 3 kilo dumbbells. Now, it also depends on what movement you're doing, because if you're doing like a side lateral raise, I can tell you it gets really heavy after a while doing 3 kilos. But anyway, you can increase the reps. You can increase the sets. You can also increase your control and proficiency of the movement. Try and, like, as you always say, make every rep look the same, so you can really concentrate on that technique and then also that time under tension as well. So there's so many different things that you can do. I don't know if you've mucked around with push-ups over the time. Obviously you would have in the lockdown, who hasn't? But if you try and do a really, really slow push-up, like even count to 5 or 6 or even 10 all the way down and then push it straight back up, that's insane. So there are just little ways of manipulating all those different variables to really make the most of training with either your body weight or just whatever you've got at home.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's this old saying, I think I've used it in the podcast before, is that it's easy to make it easy. Meaning that, let's use example of a push-up. You get really good at making it easy. And sometimes we need to find ways to lean into that resistance, make it harder. And that could be that we slow it down, increase the range of motion, maybe focus more tension into different parts of our body. And, you know, talking about like that control and efficiency, like, using example of a squat, like over time in like bodybuilding, a lot of bodybuilders will end up using like less load to get a higher stimulus on their body because they get better at the movement. So something like a squat, you know, some pro bodybuilders who have like thighs, one thigh is bigger than both of my thighs put together, they'll be using a load that's much lighter than the loads that I use to squat with because they have learned how to be more proficient with that technique so that they get a bigger stimulus with a smaller load. So I think there's lots to exercise and weight isn't always the answer. We don't always need to increase more weight on the bar.
I think, look, in all honesty, it's the answer for like one part of your brain that just loves that sort of putting a whole bunch of weight on there and just slamming that weight. That's always fun. But for anything such as sculpting your physique and things, it really pays to definitely at least have that time under tension and that range of motion. So only once I've slowed down and I'm sort of focused on those things has my body started to become slightly more muscular. You know, it doesn't matter what weight I'm throwing around. So I can really attest to that. And I do believe the lockdown, I might write a book, Lockdown Made Me More Muscular.
I like it.
Because I was forced to do all of these things. I didn't want to. But in the end, I did lockdown and all I got was this set of shoulders.
I'll put that on a t-shirt and give that to you.
Absolutely.
I was in lockdown for 18 months and all I got were these set of shoulders. Gosh.
All I got were these delts, the three-headed delts. Yeah, anyway, another dad joke, I suppose, but yeah, we're good.
All right, Nick, the last question here, a little bit closer linked to how many of us around Australia are coming out of lockdown finally. So I'm talking to those in New South Wales and those in Victoria. And I think Tasmania is currently in a lockdown now. I'm not too sure. But for many of us, you know, we're going back to the gym after some time off. Okay. And I want to speak about our good friend, the gym bag. So a little bag that we take to the gym. And I want to speak about what should I bring in my gym bag? Okay.
Yes.
So let's talk about some items that were in my gym bag. So I don't really have a gym bag at the moment because I'm training at home. But these are some of the things that I found useful to take to the gym. You might find this useful as well. So the first thing you want to bring, of course, is the gym membership. So we don't promote being dodgy at gyms. You know, pay your way at a gym. Don't sneak in behind the person behind you in the 24-hour gyms. So bring a gym membership so you can get into the gym. So that's number one. Okay.
Good one.
And of course, the gym bag, you would need some sort of bag, whether it be a plastic bag or a little duffel bag. I have a little duffel bag. I like to be able to just grab it in my hands or fling it over my shoulder. So the bag's always quite a nice one as well. Now, other items that would be really helpful in your gym bag would first, of course, be a program that we want to follow. So that could be either a paper program or a program on like a device like your phone. I think if we are in a habit of going to the gym and kind of either keeping mental track of our program, we kind of forget numbers. Like there's lots of numbers to remember. You know, did I do 7 reps or 8 reps at, you know, number 8 or was it number 7 or was it on this machine over there or that machine? I really can't remember. So we want to be able to record our information.
That's right. And sometimes when it's written down, you actually do beat it because it's just because it's written there and you know something about that. Yeah.
I think that's one of the biggest changes to my training was writing it down. And that's when I really saw progression. So write your program down if you're choosing not to follow challenge programs and write down what numbers we're doing, how many reps, how many sets, what weight you did, and all that information. Other things you want to bring in your gym bag, of course, is a towel. We do get sweaty in gyms. And especially now with COVID times, it's really wise to, you know, be respectful of people around you, wipe down your equipment before and after you use it so that we can really try to minimize the spread of not only COVID, but, you know, other viruses that might be floating around. And, you know, some people can be a little bit gross in gyms. So, you know, bring that towel, protect yourself, protect other people from you as well. So be kind and thoughtful of other people.
Yes.
Next thing that really helpful in a gym bag is a water bottle or some sort of bottle. For me, I bring a shaker bottle, so a trusty Max's shaker bottle, and I would commonly have something like IntraBoost, which is a Max's product, or maybe Maxine's product, something like Sip and Burn or Kriya Burn. I like the taste of it. It reminds me of like cordial when I was a kid drinking cordial. But I do like the little bit of a kick that some of these products can give. Some of them have very small amounts of caffeine, give you a little bit of a kick, and you know, it gives you something to sip on in between sets, you know, sip and burn. That's what we're doing. Okay. Well, but water bottle.
I like the grape one.
Yeah. It's really grape, is it?
It's grape.
I'm nailing these jokes. Okay.
Oh, I know. Copying me. Like what?
All right. The next thing you want to bring in your gym bag is probably a set of headphones. So you're probably listening to some music, unless you enjoy the, you know, background music that some gyms play. Maybe you like a bit of Katy Perry on the gym radio. But, you know, a set of headphones is always helpful. I always choose to have some wireless headphones. So I don't have the wire getting in the way of my lifting and such. And then I found that when I'd have like my phone in my pocket, if I had like wires on the headphones, then I have to worry about the phone in my pocket. So if I'm doing like, you know, a dumbbell chest press or a squat, you know, I need to worry about the cable and then my phone. So it's easier to put my phone in my duffel bag and I've got some wireless headphones. And then I'm less likely to kind of get distracted from my phone unless I'm putting in my program there. So wireless headphones, always helpful. Another thing I bring in my gym bag often is a post-workout shake. So I'm the classic guy at the gym where on my way out, I'm filling up my shaker bottle, shaking my bottle and drinking it on the way to the car. So it's always nice to bring that second shot. I'd actually go to the gym with two shaker bottles. One would be something like IntraBoost and another one I'd have just the powder, like the protein powder. Then when I'm finished, I grab that bottle, fill it up with water, shake it, and on my way home, so I have two bottles with me. So our post-workout shake, always something that's can be helpful, and it just reminds us to take it because it's there with us. I also have a whole bunch of like toys in my gym bag. So one is I have a whole range of resistance bands and TheraBands. So the gym that I would go to don't really have many resistance bands, and sometimes they're being used and such. So I like to have just a small amount of resistance bands in my bag. They're super light, they're super small, and I use them as some warm-ups. So let's say I'm trying to warm up my shoulders before a bench press, or trying to you know, warm up through my hips or something like that. A TheraBand's always quite helpful. For me, I use things like wrist wraps and like wrist tails. So I'll wrap them around my wrist if I'm doing things like bench press, or use some straps such as figure eights or tails to help with some grip work. Not a lot of training. I actually kind of use them a little bit more for like back work. It just takes one element away from it, like grip. So I'm focusing more on my back while I'm doing some training. It can be helpful for some, and they're usually quite cheap. You know, you could pick them up from eBay for less than $10, or you could be really fancy and spend, you know, $30, $50, $100 on wrist wraps. To me, they're all quite similar, unless you're trying to get some really fancy leather ones, which can feel quite nice. For me, I usually have a container of chalk with me. So if I wasn't using my wrist wraps, I would like to chalk up my hands so that I get better grip on things like barbells when I'm doing like a deadlift. So having my own chalk is quite nice. Some gyms have their own chalk, but it can get quite messy. And then it can also be a little bit gross if everyone's grabbing the same chalk. So I like to have my own chalk. I'd also have things like a weightlifting belt in my bag, just because I do kind of weightlifting training. And then I used to carry a set of weightlifting shoes in my bag as well, right? So you can see that my bag's getting a little bit big of stuff. So usually when I'm going to go do things like squats, I might wear some weightlifting shoes, so that would come with me to the gym as well. But then I might change out of them afterwards, so I'm not walking around in like high heels in the gym.
Yeah, you know? I know they have to walk in. They're just clumpy.
Yeah, clumpy, yeah. And then for me as well, I usually bring my own clips to the gym. So I do lots of barbell training. And sometimes the clips go walkabouts in the gym. So instead of walking around doing laps of the gym trying to find the clips, I just have my own clips. Sometimes those like prong clips, I don't really like them. They kind of like slide off the barbell. I like the snap lock ones where you can kind of just like flick the thing and it snaps on.
And when you're tired, it's really hard sometimes to squeeze the prong.
Yeah.
Like if you're maxed out and you're dying and you're trying to get the weight off with the prong, it's like, oh, yep. This prong.
Yeah. Yep. I've spoken about lots of things, and most of those things are in my gym bag. And I've also had other things. I've had like yoga straps in my gym bag to help with some stretching. I've had lacrosse balls and my own foam roller in the gym once upon a time. I had skipping ropes in my gym bag once upon a time. So I've had lots of little bits and pieces make its way in and out. Heck, I even had a whiteboard marker because I used to write my program on the mirror. So I'd go to the squat rack, I'd go out to the mirror and write down my weight, and then I use like a little like Roman little tally type thing to write out how many sets I've done, how many reps I've done on the mirror, and then I wipe it off when I go.
Oh my gosh, everybody would be like, it's Goodwill Hunting.
So these things have come and gone in my gym bag. But Nick, is there anything that I didn't speak about that you put in your gym bag?
Oh gosh, well, for me, anyone who's competing ever would know that you usually take your posing shoes to the gym. I've had posing shoes, spin shoes, weightlifting shoes, and then normal shoes, and then sometimes even then like sandally shoes, being Italian, that I want my feet as free as possible all the time, so I want to get out of my sneakers. So millions of shoes. I like to also just bring a spare change of clothes, because just coming from that background of where everything was always super sweaty, you never know. So I've always got, as you guys even probably know in the office, especially Di knows, like I've always got at least 3 pairs of leggings kicking around that if anyone ever needs to borrow them. And then you've seen also, I usually bring about 2 or 3 coats because I'm always cold, and I can even squat in my Kathmandu coat. I don't know what's wrong with me. So I've got lots of warm things, which are like lots of layers. And then I always have water, even though I used to have a coach years ago who actually was against drinking water in session, which was very strange, but I have my water. I will have sometimes if I'm crazy, I'll bring some sort of a black coffee in. It depends where I'm at in my life. Have that. Headphones program, which is on my phone, so I can just scroll through. But I do try not to look at other things just for that 1 hour. I try. But sometimes I get distracted, but I try and just go in and focus. But other than that, if I'm seriously into prep, then I will also bring a meal. I may not eat it at the gym, but I'll have it in the vicinity of that bag because it's something that I have to have. And way back when it was also goggles and all that other stuff for the tri training. So I'm probably like you, just walking around with an entire house on my back and chalk. I was going to say a lot of gyms are now not wanting the communal chalk. And I've just been introduced to, last time I was in the gym, which is ages ago, but liquid chalk, I hadn't used it before. And when you put it on, you go, oh my gosh, am I in trouble here? But then it does dry. So that's quite cool. I've got straps, yes, but I don't use a belt, but as we've said, I probably should start using one. That's about it.
Yeah, I think, the gym bag is an interesting example about what I spoke about in Coach's Corner with, friction. Like if you had a dedicated gym bag and it was constantly full, like it had everything you need to go to the gym, like if I said, all right, John, let's go to the gym, you just pick up your bag and go, like you make it really easy. But if you like didn't have a gym bag and, if you were getting home from work and then it was, okay, it's now gym time and you have to scramble around, you got to find your towel, find your program, where's my gym membership now? I need my shaker bottle for my water bottle or something. And then, oh geez, I've got to find my, Theraband that I want to bring to the gym. And then you forgot your skipping rope or your chalk or whatever else you needed to. It's nice and easy. If everything's just in one bag, you pick it up, away you go. And like what you said, Nick, if you had like a spare, I don't know, hoodie in there, you grab that hoodie, you wear it to the gym, you may use it for like a warm up, and then you take it off and it lives in your bag. All right, you've got like a hoodie. Maybe on the way home, you go to Coles and you put that hoodie on and stuff like that. So, you know, you can make it really easy to go to the gym, and that's the big part of it.
So for me, one of my sort of limiting factors will always be that I get freezing. So it's like, if I just go to myself, you can be as warm as you want, and when you warm up, you can take that coat off. You know, that's something. So I always have my warm things there that makes me feel cozy. And then when I'm in there, I'm like, I don't need to ever wear a warm thing again in my life. You know, I don't know why I thought it was cold, but so I just know myself well enough to know. I also know that I actually have, I think, 4 pairs of the same posing shoes, and I put them also in my car. So there's no excuse for me. Like, I think there's even one pair that I leave at the gym, just like I'm that person who has a pair of shoes there, just because then I cannot get out of it. I don't let myself get out of things. So even as a coach, even as someone who lives and breathes fitness, like we are essentially like fitness professionals, we still have things that we have to do. So, you know, I don't let myself get out of stuff. Oh, and my Beta pump that I like to use is actually still at the gym, locked in there. So I've got to go and rescue it eventually when gyms open up, because that lives there too.
I was going to say just quickly, my advice would be to not leave your gym bag in your car.
Yeah.
You'll probably start leaving, you know, if you are having a post-workout shake, you leave that post-workout shake bottle in your car. And that can have an interesting smell after a couple of days if you forget about it, especially if it's a warm day and such. And also, you know, if you were wearing like the same hoodie to the gym every single day or something like that, those clothes can get to a point where they need a wash. And you probably don't know that they need a wash. So make sure you take it home in your house that you can easily wash those items and you're not leaving them in your car. Because as tempting as that is to just leave it in your car so it's nice and easy to go to the gym, bring it in your house, do the right thing.
Yeah, you want to try and be as well put together as you can at the gym, because it makes you feel good when you look good and you know you're clean. That's nice. I'm just reminding myself, because remember, we are coming out of lockdown soon, so we do have to be that, and we might not have been that so much. So it's a nice idea to show up as you would like to be, you know, as you would like others to show up. Yes.
Well, look, Nick, on that note, let's wrap it up there for episode number 39 of the Challenge Weekly Show. If you like this episode, check out our 38 other episodes and let us know that you're listening, so you can share this episode on places like Instagram or Facebook. And you can leave us a review on places like iTunes. And if you have a question for us to answer in the questions section of the podcast, you can always leave a question for us. You can find the links in the show notes. We'll catch you guys next week.
Thanks, everybody. See you next week.